western Kansas. In 1956, he, along with his father, started to work a big ranch. As he explained the story, the ranch came to he and his father in not very good shape. The grass was pretty much worn out. So as time went on, he began to research what happened to the prairie prior to the arrival of white Europeans. And he found out, of course, that the prairie ecosystem worked quite well, actually, with millions and millions of buffalo whose hooves constantly churned up the land, who were in relationship with other animals, the pronghorn, badgers, and other animals, and, of course, the prairie dog. He learned how all of that worked together, and he began to realize, you know, we have, us being the ranchers and the farmers, we've really altered this landscape. I think the prime thing that he would tell you is that he learned that rotational grazing was a better way to take care of the landscape, to take care of the grass. And he learned as part of that that the prairie dogs actually played a major role in there. Now, of course, many people look at prairie dogs. In fact, I would venture to guess most farmers and ranchers on the Great Plains still look at prairie dogs as this terrible pest in which, you know, they carry plague, our animals break legs in their holes, and so on and so forth. But Larry realized that some of that probably is exaggerated and has been exaggerated over the years.
And yet the local county commission ordered him to poison the prairie dogs on his property, and Larry Haverfield didn't like that idea.
He had a very famous quote, I think, or at least I think it was very famous, in that he said, "I believe in killing prairie dogs the old-fashioned way, and that's with predators, instead of using poison."
In your book, you write that Larry believed prairie dogs are beneficial for a variety of reasons. They provide food for other wildlife. The holes and tunnels they dig help break up the hard, compacted soil, aerating it and improving the soil for plant and other animal life. And while county officials ordered him to poison the prairie dog, Larry Haverfield resisted, and this whole dispute went all the way up to the Kansas Supreme Court, right?
Correct. And the Kansas Supreme Court refused to hear the case, which meant that they relied on the decision of the appeals court, which said that the Endangered Species Act was superior to any Kansas law. And since endangered ferrets had been placed on the land and their key means of survival is the black-tailed prairie dog, that Haverfield had the right to keep the prairie dog on his land.
So basically, it wasn't so much the court system trying to protect the prairie dog, but trying to protect the predator of the prairie dog. And if you remove the food source, then, you know, you might be out of luck.
That's exactly right. It was to protect the black-footed ferret, which, of course, had dwindled down to a population of 18 back in the early 1980s. And again, this isn't so much about, you know, the warm, cuddly, fuzzy little prairie dog, even though there are people out there who, of course, look at it that way. It's part of a prairie ecosystem that I think can be rebuilt, along with human beings being a key part of it and continuing their production of beef and pork and all of the other agricultural products that grow out of the ground to support them. I want to emphasize that in no way am I trying to stop farming and ranching or hunting and sportsmanship. I'm just asking for a conversation and a better appreciation of our wildlife and how it was here for so many thousands of years before white Europeans even arrived. And how do we go into the future cohabitating this planet with these creatures in a way that we can both survive?